They were not railway children to begin with. I don't suppose they ever thought about railways except as a means of getting to Maskelyne and Cook's, the pantomime, zoological gardens, and Madame Tussaud's. They were just ordinary suburban children, and they lived with their father and mother in an ordinary red brick-fronted villa, with coloured glass in the front door, a tiled passage that was called a hall, a bathroom with hot and cold water, electric bells, French windows, and a good deal of white paint, and every modern convenience, as the house agents say. There were three of them. Roberta was the eldest. Of course, mothers never have favourites, but if their mother had had a favourite, it might have been Roberta. Next came Peter, who wished to be an engineer when he grew up. And the youngest was Phyllis, who meant extremely well. Mother did not spend all her time in paying dull calls to dull ladies and sitting dully at home waiting for dull ladies to pay calls to her. She was almost always there, ready to play with the children and read to them and help them to do their home lessons.
We're at that point in school where teachers keep harping on about what we're going to do with our lives, what direction we're going to take. I don't know. Every time I decide I want to do something, someone comes along and puts me right off. Like the other day when I said I wanted to be a nurse, then Deanne McLean told me her mum's a nurse and she has to put her finger up old men's bottoms. I ain't doing that. Even with gloves on. That's just nasty. I'm good at talking and that and listening to people. My friends always come to me to talk about their problems and I'm the one who finds solutions to their stresses. I give them advice and that. I guess I could be like a counsellor or something. But I'd really care about the people who come and see me, not like our school counsellor. She's this big fat heifer everyone calls the blimp. More concerned about when she's getting her next McDonald's fixed than she is about our problems. Makeda said to me once that I was so good at listening to people, yeah, and caring about them, that if any of the girls in our year was being touched up by their own dad or something, they come and talk to me about it rather than go to the blimp, which is probably true. Because if you can't tell yourself to put the Big Mac down, how can you be trying to dish out advice to anyone else? The only thing about listening and dealing with everyone else's problems, though, is that there's no one there to listen to yours. Right about now, I wish I did have someone to talk to.
Thou blind fool, love, what dost thou to mine eyes? That they behold and see not what they see. They know what beauty is, see where it lies, yet what the best is, take the worst to be. If eyes corrupt by over-partial looks, be anchored in the bay where all men ride, why of eyes falsehood hast thou forged hooks, whereto the judgment of my heart is tied? Why should my heart think that a several plot, which my heart knows the wide world's common place, or mine eye seeing this say this is not, to put fair truth upon so foul a face? In things right true my heart and eyes have erred, and to this false plague are they now transferred.